12 men have just discovered something. For 100,000 years, it was buried in the snow and ice. Now it has found a place to live. Inside. Where no one can see it. Or hear it. Or feel it.
I know I'm human. Some of you are still human. This thing doesn't want to show itself. It wants to hide inside an imitation. It'll fight if it has to. But it's vulnerable out in the open. If it takes us over, then it has no more enemies. Nobody left to kill it. And then it's won.
You guys gotta listen to Gary! He can beat one of those things!
Welcome back, movie watcher friends. Today we're going to be watching reviewing the 1982 movie The Thing. My name is David.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Peter.
And we are the Three Amigos Movie Review Podcast. All right, go ahead, Peter.
Oh, I was going to say, ask you guys if you watched anything lately. I was going to tell Chris that I took my daughter to see Howl's Moving Castle. It was like the anniversary of Studio Ghibli or something to AMC.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was really cool, actually. It was a lot of girls or young ladies in there. And when as soon as Howl came on the screen, like, everyone was giggling, like, in excitement.
Who's Howl? Is he, like, the boy in the movie or something? Or?
Yeah. It was, like, it was crazy.
He's like
you guys see anything good? What was it, Chris?
I was just saying he's, like, the heartthrob of the movie.
Yeah.
Dune. Have you guys seen Dune?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No, I haven't seen it yet. Have you seen it?
I liked it a lot. It is the slowest movie I've ever seen, though.
That's what I heard.
But it's beautiful to watch, man. It is beautiful. Like, it's almost a shame to watch it on the TV, though. That's what the director was saying. He's like, you have to watch it on the big screen. I kind of want to go watch it on the big screen now.
It was confusing as hell.
No way. Alright. Okay. It's a good movie, though.
You're not saying you were confused at all? You were confused at all?
I wasn't confused at all, if anything.
Okay.
But it is a two-parter. I didn't know that. It's like... I thought it was going to be a full movie.
Have you seen the first one?
Oh, yeah.
The first one?
The original?
I never saw the original.
I think I like that one more.
But I'll have to watch it then. All right. So we'll go ahead and anything else? Chris, have you watched anything lately?
No. I've just been working and I haven't had time to watch any movies like outside of the podcast.
Well, you've been running the podcast like pretty much this month, right?
Yeah.
With Sean and Adam.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, so we're going to go into a summary of this movie real quick. A research team of 12 men in Antarctica turn on each other because they are isolated for the winter with no women. All right, I'm just kidding. Let me pull up the actual summary. A research team in Antarctica is hunted by a shape-shifting alien that assumes the appearance of its victims. All right, do you guys remember when you originally saw this movie for the first time?
No way. It's before me and you were born, David, and Chris was probably like a year after you were born, huh?
It's a 1982 movie, so I think it's before all of us, right, yeah. Chris?
Yeah. I saw this movie when I was like, I think when I was around like 10 years old.
Yeah, probably, me about the same, I would say.
Did you guys play the PlayStation 2 video game for it?
That's the reason that I love this movie so much, because I remember the video game so much.
Have you played it, Chris? That game?
No, I haven't.
It is amazing.
Really?
But yeah, it's you have to get the people's confidence that you're it's a third person shooter. You walk around and if there's a survivor, you have to prove you're not an alien, or else they'll freak out on you and attack you. It's really cool.
If you're walking outside, they have the they're not flares, but the lights.
Yeah.
So you could follow the path and shit like that. It was a good game.
It's a fun game. The graphics are shit because it's old, you know. But you could YouTube it. I was YouTubing it earlier. All right. So you guys want to jump into first impressions?
Sure.
All right, go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, so I really, really enjoyed it. I haven't seen it for such a long time, and I'm quite impressed with it. It's, going back to old school movies like this, it's a little nostalgic because the image quality is not as good. You know, it's like listening to a record and it's not as crisp or clear, but it definitely adds to it. And then, of course, the props and the costumes and stuff like that are insanely good. Especially, these days you don't see a lot of, mostly everything CGI, and then you just kind of get bored of it, you know? But it was really good. It's a great movie. That's what I got.
All right, Chris, you want to go next? What was your first impression watching it this time?
This time, well, I'll give you the first impression I had when I was a kid. Man, it scared the living hell out of me, dude. That's how I felt back then, you know? It was, terrifying. Seeing, just imagining, your family members or your friends, being, being taken by an alien form that could be hiding inside them. And then just bust it out, in the middle of just talking to them. And But now, I watched it back again, now to critique it. And at first I thought it was flawless, it was. And then I watched it this time, and I noticed a lot of mistakes and some things that I... really, I guess, frustrate me when I'm watching horror movies. So
what about, were you scared this time?
No, I didn't. Cause I was trying to think of movies that actually leave me with a scared feeling, or have some aspect to them that can leave you can instill fear in you still. And there's a couple movies that I could name off that probably still do that to me. And when I watched this one, it didn't really give me that feeling anymore.
Yeah. I know Jackie was reading online. She said something back in 1982, this movie was way over the top. Everybody was saying it's too much gore. It was way too much gore for 1982. And now these days it's more it's not even over the top these days because of how, horror movies are portrayed these days. But, okay, that's it.
Right, anything else, Chris?
No.
This is one of my, this is one of my favorite movies, top three of all time. And I've never watched it in HD. I bought it on Amazon. It's $5. And it was really good. I'm surprised how good the suspense is, how it jumps in. I watched it with my 12-year-old, and I was kind of bummed out.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
She watched it?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Fuck, David, that's a lot of gore.
She was not scared at all. There's no CGI in this, right? It's all actual graphics and stuff. I was kind of surprised how good it looks still. To this day.
Yeah,
You can't knock it. When you try like that, it's like Jim Henson almost type of shit, you know? That's
it's great.
The old puppets and shit. It's fucking
cool. It's surprising like how good it is. But and like probably one of the reasons why this is one of my favorite movies is because it is a fun movie also. You know what I mean? Like all the dumb lines and all the ridiculous shit. It's just fun. It's fun to watch.
So but at the same time, it's like a smart movie, isn't it? Like it makes you like think or like look in deeper into the, you know, the conspiracy theories that are attached to it.
Yeah, and it makes you think. Like, what would you do, right? If this that was you, what would you do? There is some dumb things that happen in it. You know what I mean? But it's such a fun movie that I like. I'm either laughing or like. I'm not really scared of anything, but it's a fun movie to watch.
Yeah.
All right. So,
can I just go ahead? There was a game, a tabletop game that I don't know if you guys remember the RPG that I played for you guys that was based off of this movie.
Was it based off this movie?
It was based off of this movie, yeah. It was
were we in Antarctica?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
I don't remember, dude. It must have been years ago.
It was
years ago. It was like a one-shot.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the game right now? The real popular game Among Us that all the kids play? It's kind of like a spin on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to read off the cast members real quick. There's a lot of them. All right, so Kurt Russell plays McCready. Wilford Brimley plays Dr. Blair. Keith David plays Childs. T.K. Carter plays Knowles. Richard Masur plays Clark. We got David Plannon as Palmer. He was the crazy pothead. We got Richard Dysart is Dr. Cooper. Charles Hallahan is Vance Norris. Peter Maloney is George Bennings.
Yes.
Donald Moffat. Yeah. I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
Donald Moffat is Gary. He's the eyebrow guy. Eyebrows. Yeah. Crazy eyebrows. And let's see. We got Joel Paulus as... It's F-U-C-H-S, Fucks.
Fucks.
I think it's Fuchs.
Fuchs? Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they call him Fuchs in the movie. My bad. Jesus Christ.
We got Thomas G. Waits as Windows. I like him a lot in this, and he's also in The Warriors. I don't know if you guys remember that movie, The Warriors.
Yeah.
That's a fun movie. All right.
Is that that's not the same Tom Waits that's the musician, is it?
Tom Waits. Might be. I don't know. Honestly, I'm not a big music buff.
Okay.
All right, so is there anything you guys want to do before we jump into best lines, worst lines or anything?
I'm good.
No, good.
All right, Chris, you want to start us off? What was your best line of this movie?
So, I'm going to go straight for it and say that the last part of this movie has my favorite line, the very end, when McCready and, what's his name, Childs?
Yeah.
They're sitting alone, like together, they're the last two. And they're kind of like have their suspicions about each other. And McCready, he has the line. He says, "Why don't we just wait here for a little while, see what happens?"
Man, that's like, so crazy.
Yeah,
it was a good ending too. It was a really good ending.
Perfect ending. Like I love when endings are like, you know, when there's no happy endings, obviously, but when they leave it open to, you know, where it's, I guess it makes you think like what's going to happen next, you know?
Yeah. It kind of lets you make up the ending for it. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. It's just crazy. It's like they said, like a single molecule could take over like an entire organism, like any, like a little molecule. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, it's all right. So, what was your worst line?
All right. So, my worst line, it's when they lock Dr. Blair into the in the storage room, and MacReady's in there with him, and Dr. Blair, he's trying to plead to him, you know, he's trying to tell him, like, you can trust me. He's all like, I'm good now. He's all like, don't you trust me? He's all like, why can't you trust me? And MacReady, he says, I don't know why he says this. After seeing everything that he saw about aliens and, like, realizing that there's, like, more to the universe than you know, what we have here in our world, he says, trust is a hard thing to come by. Why don't you trust in the Lord?
The way he says it's like so empty and meaningless, right?
Yeah. That's how, like, I felt when he said it, you know? I was all like, come on. Like,
I think, like, he didn't even, like, he wasn't really, he's just like something he's heard a billion times.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess in that moment, like, it's, you know, for the typical, like, average person out there who's a God-fearing, you know, Christian or whatever, I guess it makes sense to say something that in that moment. But coming from my, like, point of view, like, I don't know, like, it just, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, especially considering, like, what they just witnessed and, you know.
But he wasn't, like, MacReady, he was saying it, like, he didn't mean it either. I mean, he was just bullshitting.
Really?
Like, no way. He's just like, yeah, just trust in the Lord. I don't want to end this conversation.
You're thinking that he's just talking shit? He's just talking shit?
No, I think he didn't know what to say, so he just said something. Like, if there was a priest in there, he'd be like, we got to believe in the Lord. Like, we'll all make through it. Kurt Russell's like, what? Like, he's like, I don't know who to trust anymore. He doesn't know what to say. He's like, trust in the Lord. See you later.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
What do you got on that, Peter? Anything, or you want to?
No, I honestly don't remember the line. I really don't remember that line.
It's really funny because I think he pats him on the shoulder.
Yeah.
All right, Peter, what's your best line from this movie?
Okay, so my best line is probably yours, David. I could see this being your best line, too. Where Gary is tied up to the couch. Yes. Is that your favorite line, too?
No, I knew... It probably is, but I just had to pick something else because I knew someone was going to get it, right?
So he said, he says, because...
Try to say it like him.
Because he says, because they tested his blood, and he's the last one that they test, so I don't know how long he's been sitting on that fucking couch. To see he's not an alien, so he says, like, all calmly and shit, I know you gentlemen have been through a lot, and when you find the time, I'd rather not spend the rest of this winter tied to this fucking couch, you know?
That was good. Hell
it's
yeah.
So good. Like, it's so good because, like, you had a crazy, scary action scene. Yeah, but you just had a scary, a horrifying scene, and it's just a funny thing to, like, release the tension from all that crazy shit, right?
Like, yeah, the music was beautiful when it faded out of it. It was done really well. All
right.
And then my worst line.
Wait, hold on 1 second. Chris, you got anything on that? Or?
No, I just love the entire scene, too. Like, it was... There's a... Because it was right after... when they test the... whose was it? I can't remember whose went crazy.
Child. Oh, it was the crazy pothead.
Yeah.
I think his... Was I got him right here.
Windows?
No, was that was... Windows died because of the... give me 1 second. I got it. I'm sorry, guys.
Was it Palmer? Or
it was Palmer. Wait. Palmer went crazy and ate windows pretty much. You grab his head and he's flopping all around the roof and everything that's right. like that.
Yeah.
And so like Kurt Russell or McCready blows one of them up, Palmer.
Yeah.
And then and then he has to torch poor windows, remember?
Yeah. I know. And he's just crazy. Sitting there like
yeah.
Well, like, since you're talking about that, when he was when he had weights like flopping around, you could totally see that was a dummy, though. You know,
I know, yeah, but it was so it looked crazy,
like a pillow.
Though.
It was like a pillow, right? You know.
Yeah, but the guys are all like tied up right next to it; they can't move.
I'm just saying. Yeah,
and it's like his flamethrower's not going or whatever, and the other guy's scared. It was so fun. I don't know.
It was a beautiful moment. It was just from cinematic like point of view. Because you got so much going on at that moment, you know? It just goes from one extreme to the other.
Yeah, and then he's when the monster's getting tearing out of like yeah. the ropes.
yeah.
He like picks everybody up on the bench, you know?
Yeah, dude.
it's so funny, everyone's screaming. And then like he catches him on fire, runs through the wall, and then McCready throws like a stick of dynamite.
Yeah.
And it blows up, and like McCready falls back. I think that was like, I read that was like a real thing where McCready actually, or what's his name? Kurt Russell, he fell back because of that explosion.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah, he said it was real scary. All right.
Oh shit.
All right, let's go to.
And then. Worst line?
Here's worst line?
Yeah.
I actually don't have a worst line.
Really?
I don't think there was a lot of bad writing in it. And at the same token, I don't think there was a lot of like great writing either.
Oh,
man. Well, I'm saying like there's a lot of movies that are very quotable, right? There's not like a ton of quotes in this movie.
That I think there's a lot of quotes.
Well, that's not bad. You know, I'm just saying, like when you walk out of like Highlander, you know there's a couple of quotes or at least one, you know.
But I think there's a lot of Arnold Schwarzenegger quotes in this. Probably not like meaningful things, but there's a bunch of dumb quotes in this movie.
Yeah. yeah. All right, so David, your best line.
All right, my best line comes from Knowles after he got shot, and like it's because let's see. Give me one second. I'm going to pull up the other character. His name's Null. Or I'm sorry. Nulls is the cook. And he's like listening to music cooking at night, right?
Yeah.
And then Bennings got shot earlier. He's like walking down the hallway. He turns on the speaker and he says, "Nulls, will you turn that crap down? I'm trying to get some sleep. I was shot today."
Yeah.
he's just yelling at it. It's so funny. You know? Like, that's something that would happen. That's something I would say.
Right? since you said that, like these characters are really, you know, relatable to a certain extent. Can you guys see yourself as any one of those guys? Like their mannerism and how they act? Can you see yourself like any of them, Chris? Or no?
Realistically, no? I'd probably be like the first one to die, man. Either that or after like I seen like you know, if I was talking to McCready and he told me, because in one of the lines in the movie he's all like, it looks like none of us are getting out of here alive. Well, at least that thing won't get out of here alive either. And yeah. After he said that, I'm like, well, let's just blow our fucking brains out. I'm like, why the hell are we going to try and torture each other? Or like,
I took it as like they want to try to take it down with him, you know?
Yeah,
but still, your state of mind screwed at that point.
Yeah, man.
I mean, if a single molecule... I feel like a single molecule can take you over. They all just got to take it on the chin, right?
Yeah.
I saw myself as like Gary a little bit.
Which
like,
one is like he?
More, the
he's eyebrows?
The one that... Yeah.
I don't see myself as Childs, the last one of the last guys. I don't see, because he's kind of a hard ass, right?
Yeah.
Clark, maybe? He's a dog lover guy.
Oh, yeah.
I like Clark. I kind of feel for him. He's all sad because Dr. Blair went crazy and chopped the dog's heads off.
I know, and then he's always like shooting at everybody.
Yeah. But they look like the dog looked like a chicken, man. They put him on the stump and chopped his head, remember?
Yeah. Sad. Yeah.
All right, so here's my worst line, okay? It's after they figure out what's going on, they're all standing outside. I forget what MacReady says. He's like, oh, it could be any one of us. And Childs says, how do we know who's human? Just the way he says it, you know? Like, do you guys remember that part? How do we know who's human? If I was an imitation, how would you know? It's just like he's this big ass dude, and his voice goes up like 10 octaves. I don't know why it bothers me so much.
I like it just because that, you know, almost every character, well, not almost every character, but there's a lot of characters that are like too smart for this movie. Like they're over here, like, you know, putting pieces together. Like they, as soon as they see like the first alien, or the first assimilation of the human, they immediately like piece it together and they say like, oh, this alien is like assimilating us and like copying us. So I'm all like, well, it was nice to see somebody, you know, not really get all the clues. And
yeah, some of them don't care, like like MacReady's like, I'm tired, I'm gonna go to sleep.
Yeah, yeah. Poor bastard. And stuff for a couple of damn days and shit. I like Chris is saying, like, everybody's too smart. I didn't care just because the story's got to move, you know. But I could see why somebody didn't like it.
Somebody wouldn't like it. All the characters feel really lived in. You know what I mean? There's not just like a scientist guy that just breathes and lives science stuff. You know what I mean? There's like all of them feel like people. That's probably.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the settings and everything? Like. Do you think that was pretty cool, just in being in Antarctica?
You know, I have a question. You probably know what it is, David. What the fuck were they doing out there? Like, I know what the Norwegians were doing, but what the hell were they doing out there?
Well, it's funny. It's like they always do lots of tests. Like, those places are real, you know?
Well, but, yeah, but what were they doing out there?
I don't know what they were doing, but do you know, like, Chris? In real life... Like, people just, like, you can dig up the ice like a tree. Like, if you cut down a tree, you can look at the rings and stuff. You can dig in the ice and you can see what happens, like, in the environment a thousand years ago.
No, I know the Norwegians were, like, on a science expedition. I'm asking what Kurt Russell's team was doing there. Like, what was their purpose?
I have no idea.
It doesn't specify in the movie, huh?
Looks like they had a shooting range, pretty much. They had like 100 guns and 5 flamethrowers and dynamite. Guys walking around with a 6-shooter and a gun belt. You know what I mean? That's what it looks like. It's like they're insane.
Yeah, I was just curious what the fuck they were doing out there. But
like, well, the one guy has a 38 in his desk drawer.
Yeah.
Like, all right. All right, so that's everyone's best and worst lines?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, what was your favorite scene from this movie?
Okay, so probably my favorite character in this movie was Peter Maloney's George Bennings. I don't know if you guys remember that character, but
he was my guy, my best line. He's like, I got shot today, right?
Yeah. And it's funny because that scene is probably my worst scene. But for another reason. But let me give you my best scene. It was the death of Bennings after he gets overtaken, or he gets halfway overtaken by the thing.
And he was already overtaken. I think he was ready.
So you're saying when they're still in the house or when he's actually turned outside?
Yeah, when they're outside.
Okay.
Because I think MacReady was saying that he wasn't fully assimilated, but like he was like halfway like into being turned.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, just the way he looks when he falls to the snow, and you can see his both of his arms are already like starting to turn, and you can I love the prosthetics that they put on his arms. Like they look so awesome, and the way he like turns and like his mouth is like gaped open, and the scream that he lets out.
Yeah.
Like, man, it was just such a good scene. It was perfectly like well done.
Yeah, and so when everyone sees it too, right? Like it's
yeah.
Anything on that, Peter?
No, it was a great scene. His prosthetics were fucking awesome. His hands. I wish they put something on his head though, like a little something. Maybe to see like something like a vein or because it was all on the hand.
It just looks like they threw some hand things on him. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, or just something like little spots otherwhere on his body, but it was fucking cool. His hands were great.
I like the part when it shows Windows seeing him get assimilated. It looks terrifying, man. He's like half naked and the things are all sliming around his neck and stuff, you know what I mean? It was insane. All right, Chris, what was your worst scene from this movie?
Okay, so like I was saying, my worst scene is your best scene or best line. Well, not the best line, but you know, after he like screams at Knowles to turn down the music. Knowles, I don't know if you guys caught this, maybe because I watched it in HD, but he goes to the stereo and he flips the volume with his finger, right?
Yeah.
But if you look closely, he's not flipping up anything.
He's just being an asshole. You know what I mean? I thought he was just being an asshole and didn't flip it on purpose.
I thought he went to the radio and then act like he was going to, and he's like, fuck it. And then he took off. I thought that's what happened.
Me too.
I thought it was just a cheap like maneuver that they were that they
no, because the music was no, the music was still loud after it didn't. I'm pretty sure
he was just being an asshole, dude, like a teenage asshole that didn't want to turn his music down. He's fuck it. Just pretend. Okay. I'm gonna pretend I turn it lower, and then I like him a lot. He's like skating around, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He loves probably like the fucking roller ring or something. I don't know. But that kid would not be stuck there for like that long without a girl. You know? He's way too young to be there, you know what I mean? Like, he'd go crazy.
It makes you wonder how long they were stationed there for.
Well, I think the winter starts, and then they're stuck there until the winter passes. Because, like, besides this movie, a lot of movies, like, you can't fly anything when winter
hits. I actually know a guy who's done that before. He would go to Antarctica as, like, a firefighter. And he'd go for 6 weeks, and then he's off 6 weeks, and he goes back for 6 weeks. But he showed me some pictures and shit of all the training and all the cool shit they used to do down there. But I think it was like he said it was like a mandatory 6 weeks on, 6 off.
Was his a big facility that he went to, or was it tiny?
From the pictures he showed me, it was like the same size.
God.
But they had a whole bunch of like Conex containers and shit of other things too, you know. But I guess... what was crazy real quick is... he showed me like some of the training they had to do in case they get lost, because sometimes they get lost out there in the huge snowstorms, you know, and you can't see like 5 feet in front of you. there was a quick stupid story is there was like a, I don't know, like a hygienist that went out there to like work on everybody, and they flew her back, but she got lost out there, quickly, in a whiteout. And she was fucking scared. And then she said, like, the next thing she knew is, like, somebody just, like, a huge guy just picked her up and carried her. it was funny the way they said it. But something stupid to say real quick is he showed me, like when you're out there, you gotta dig yourself in a tunnel. And he showed me pictures of the tunnel that you dig, like you gotta train on. And it's creepy because you're under ice, and he makes himself a bed in there. It's fucking crazy. It's like super claustrophobic.
Yeah, but they do that Don't they do that in the movie? What was it called?
007.
The 007.
Yeah, Vril's the 007. It was with who's Storm in the X-Men?
Who? Storm?
Yeah, from the X-Men. Yeah, Pierce Brosnan does it with Halle Berry. You guys don't remember that?
Okay. No, I just remember his sneer, you know.
There was a movie called Arctic with Mads Mikkelsen. I don't know if you guys ever seen it.
Oh shit, yeah. That was good.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I believe he, builds himself, a little, shelter like that, too, in the snow, where he has to dig himself, with his hands.
And what's crazy... what's crazy about this is, they set shit on fire a couple times in this movie, but, they might as well have a spaceship and be in space, because once that building's gone, they're fucked. They can't go outside and hang out there for more than 12 hours, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
your only way of life. You're gonna it's gonna drop to below 100. They said or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's insane. So yeah, it's like a haunted house that you have to live in, pretty much. All right, where are we at? Was that that was Chris's worst scene? Is that he flips the okay?
Yeah, flips the volume. Right, it's nitpicking a little bit, but you know, I just had to pick something.
Yeah, what a dick! Why wouldn't he let the dude sleep? He got shot. It was fucked up. All right, Peter, what was your best scene from the movie?
Okay, so my best scene, was when, Kurt Russell MacReady, when he lights up windows, because
sad.
But with the dog scene, you know, when the dog started transforming and then eating the dogs and transforming them, pretty much assimilating them, I guess, I don't know. That was all fucking awesome, you know. But to me, it felt like I could see the actors acting, and then they would kind of cut it and then go to the dogs and then back and forth. In this scene, you see MacReady light him up, and they're both in the same field of view. So it felt like real, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was fucking awesome. Another part I liked a lot was when that dog was trying to get out of the cage. Remember, he was trying to take it apart. That was fucking cool as hell. But crazy. My favorite part was the lighting up of windows. It was fucking sad.
You got anything on that scene, Chris?
Honestly, I don't remember the who Windows was.
He was the guy on the radio.
It was right before Peter's favorite line. He was like, "Get me off this couch." It was Windows. Windows got his head chopped on. He was flopping around, and then after Kurt Russell blows up the guy with a stick of dynamite, he walks back into the building, and Windows is just sitting there, in his hands. And
he's just sitting on the floor. His face is full of blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's just sitting on the floor, and then Kurt Russell just catches him on fire while he's sitting on the floor.
I know. The fact that he's just sitting there, still aware, you know, he's still, halfway. I don't know. He's not even, a quarter of the way turned, you know, at that point.
Yeah. You screwed.
Yeah. But the only thing that sucks about that scene is, what Peter was saying earlier, is that his body looks like a rag doll when it's being, chomped up.
I'm all the way in it though, right there.
I mean, it's for a split second, but it's
quick sidetrack, two things real quick. One of them is there's an old 1951 movie, The Thing from Outer Space, that this is based on. Did you guys know that?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
they have a freaking flamethrower in that movie too, and they're catching guys on fire in that movie. That's pretty freaking sweet. Then another thing is, quick things like Vance, he's the guy that has the heart attack, and then his chest bursts open, remember?
Yeah.
And takes the doctor's arms. I was wondering, do you guys like Vance, when he's having a heart, he's having like chest pains, like a couple scenes before that happens, right? The question is, do you think that he even knew he was turning? You know what I mean? Like, some of these guys, it like eats them and takes them over completely, but I wonder if Vance like turns, like he just got something on his skin and then he turns slowly, you know what I mean?
Maybe.
Well, I wonder if for he's me, aware of it. You know what well, I mean? Well, for me, I don't know. Okay, so check this out. Okay, the dog from the very first scene, right, coming in. Let me see. How should I word it? I think Vance was the alien. Maybe I'm wrong because I think that the alien takes him over, digests him, and then they're the alien themselves,
and he's no longer Vance. Yeah, that could be it. Yeah, that could be it, but they said a single molecule can take you over, you know what I mean? So I was wondering, it could be right, but it could be he just got something on his skin, he slowly turned all the way.
Yeah, he doesn't, could have been coughed on.
Oh, either. Maybe it's both, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I was just wondering if, like, because it's crazy because Windows, he's, like, looking at his self, and, like, he has that crap all over him, so he's screwed no matter what, you know what I mean? But he also looked like he wasn't fully aware of his surroundings, like something was happening to him. He's just screwed. Okay, so that was your favorite scene, Peter?
Yeah.
Or what was your worst one?
Worst scene was when they go into the secret room under the out, like, shed or whatever. And then they found, like, a like a man-made saucer, you know, like a UFO saucer. And that's a product of the times, and it's kind of weird because I feel like I'm watching like a 1920 movie, not 20, like a 40s movie, in 1980s, you know? So like the first second of the movie, you see a flying saucer coming to the Earth, and then you have like a homemade saucer, and I was like, fuck. But, you know, it's a product of the time. If I was making a movie back then, shit, maybe I'd do the same thing, you know? I don't know. So I can't be too harsh with it. It's just I don't know.
Product it almost of the time, makes it like a B movie kind of like.
Yeah.
Like just the way it looks is like a stock saucer picture. Or something.
And he said, I don't know if it was was it supposed to get him into outer space or was
I guess,
it?
Yes, like, I don't know.
Or was it just supposed to get him like off of the continent? Because
he know, said that he built that. Look like.
Yeah, but he said that like that he took parts that he was taking parts from the helicopter, and that's how he was building it. But it makes you think like how like where did he get the tools to like weld and like?
Yeah, that's true. I think there was welding tanks down there, but he's not going to be like folding folding aluminum perfectly or like steel.
Yeah.
So, like. Perfect, like, round, yeah. But, man, that must have been hard for, like, John Carpenter to get that thing. That looks like some serious work, you know what I mean? It looks pretty cool.
Yeah. What do you think about that scene, Chris? You got anything else to add?
The flying saucer scene?
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to ask you guys, like, do you guys think that the technology in the movie was, like, way too advanced? Like for the times that it was.
What technology?
The special graphics or what?
Because you know, it shows in the movie that they're using like those big fat like boxed computers with floppy disks.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're the Dr. Blair. He's like looking up like blood samples. And the computer is telling him, like, it's, like, almost aware, like, it's got, like, an AI to it, you know?
Yeah
that
time.
Is funny because it's, like, a Like, what program is he using, right? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's... Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. That flying saucer just kind of, like, added to it, you know? Just, like, the technology was kind of, like, too much out of its time, you know?
Well, the 80s, though, the 80s, like, computers were, you know, it's 1982, so computers were, like, at the very... Sounds stupid, but, like, you know, it's new technology, you know, and yeah. It was kind of like, well, no, let me finish. Like, computers, like that computer, he was asking questions to, and what is the computing? You know what I mean? It says, you know, 3 years, everybody's going to be blah, blah, blah. It was almost like a bad version of Alien Mother, right?
Yeah, big time.
Like a very, very, very bad version of it. But I don't know how else to go around that. I didn't really think about it until Chris said it right now, actually.
I mean, it's dumb, but two things real quick. Like, when this freaking movie starts, it shows a freaking flying saucer, right? It jumps in like, hey, this is going to be dumb, right? And also, like, if these guys are scientists, maybe someone has, like, maybe there's been enough polio and crazy diseases to show you how long it'll take over the planet. How long shit moves from one continent to the next, right? I don't know.
But, yeah.
All right, so... Okay. the... All right, so you guys got your, like, best scenes and worst scenes?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Dad?
All right.
What do you got, Dad?
All right, my best scene is when Brimley is on the computer.
Like, oh, oh my god!
the simulation, it's really slow. You know what I mean? It shows the stupid simulation, and it has like it says what's what, like human DNA simulation DNA. But like after it changes, Brimley's just staring at it, and it says like, I don't know, 170,000 hours until the whole planet's taken over.
Yeah, I think it calculated to 3 years. I think it calculated to 3 years.
He just, like, shakes his head. Like, it's, like, so understated, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't smile or frown or, like, his eyebrows don't curl up. He's just, like, oh, that was...
But he goes insane. He loses his shit.
Well, he turned it to an alien at some point. I don't know if he turned an alien because he is an alien at the end of the movie. I don't know why it's just so, it's like funny and serious at the same time. But he's just like, fuck, you know what I mean? He's like, I got, you guys remember when he just shakes his head? It's like, you almost can miss it. Like, he just shakes it.
Yeah. Like a mechanic told him that he got like a $500 bill, right, or something. He's like, fuck, it'd be a bad day, you know.
Alright, you got anything on that, Chris, before I go to my worst scene?
No, let's do your worst scene, I want to hear it.
Let me see. Oh, no, this is kind of picky, but at the end of the movie... There's four of them left before they go check on the doctor that they locked into the, in the shed or whatever, in the tool shed.
Yeah.
The three of them leave Knowles at the base by himself. Like, after all you guys have been through, like, you've all tested each other, you're still going to split up. You know what I mean? Like, this is that's the first rule of this whole movie is don't split up because you don't know who the fuck is who. You know what I mean? Like, all, like, tie your belts to each other and walk around. You know what I mean? There's, like, it's just dumb. You know
what I mean? Like, that's, yeah, I can see that.
That's, like, nitpicky or whatever, but, like, if you have something that's turning into something that looks identical... So when it's taken over, you should probably not let them out of your sight.
Yeah.
But,
and that's the bad thing about this movie, you know, like it tries to be like, you know, a smart, like, you know, piece of sci-fi work, you know, that makes the characters think, you know, like, okay, they got their heads on a swivel. But at the same time, they're doing dumb shit like that. I'm like,
come on. Wonder, is there any like horror movie that somebody doesn't do something stupid, or does it have to be like, does it have to be there because it's horror? You know what I mean,
if you have a great, if they did it correctly, then the alien would not take over anything. You know what I mean?
So yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
so either someone has to do something stupid, or something has to happen to force them to lose control of the situation. And it doesn't bother me that much, but like that's just a glaring red light. You know? All right, any you guys want to jump into the deep dive of this movie?
Hell yeah!
Sure.
I'll let you guys go first.
All right, go ahead, Chris. It sounds like you got something good.
Okay. Yeah, so, like, I wrote down a lot of notes for this movie. But I want to start off by, you know, giving, like, a, you know, just a slow clap for the music that was in this movie. From the very beginning, you know, like, as soon as you see the spaceship, like, you hear that bass line that's throughout the entire movie. I'm like, man, like, I'm like, ugh. I don't know how else to, like, put that. Like, it's iconic almost, you know. You hear that sound and you instantly know, like, some shit's going down, you know.
But that's good.
I mean, most of it was, like, pretty classic, like, violin work, you know, that was like, you know, when like there's like something like creeping around the corner or some shit, or like something's about to like strike, you know. So I mean, a lot of it was basic, but that bass line like really set itself apart. But speaking of the intro, or the beginning, like, don't you guys wish that they would have left out, that they would have cut out the spaceship scene?
Yeah, both of them, actually. No, and like, you know, honestly, but maybe, like, you know, 1982, you know? I don't know. Was that the last time that they put a saucer, like, in a movie like that, you know? Like, non-hysterical, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's in the original movie, you know what I mean? I wonder if that's in the original and he's like, I don't know. It does kind of make it a B movie. Like, it brings it down a little bit, you know what I mean? It makes it cheesy. Especially the way they filmed it, you know what I mean? It just looks dumb.
Like, yeah.
Like, it takes over the screen, right? Like,
I know. Like, the movie would have been a lot more, like, well-served. If it just left the viewer, you know, to kind of like piece it together, and you know, because they give so many clues, like especially that scene where MacReady and his partner, they go over to the Norwegian base, yeah, and you start seeing like all the like the destruction, you know, all the you know, the morbid, like, imagery of, like, bodies everywhere and like, the monster on the outside. Like, oh, okay, maybe something, this thing obviously isn't from planet Earth, you know? Like, I just wish they would have let the viewer kind of, like, just, like, figure it out, you know?
Yeah. I could see that. I would have done that, yeah.
Yeah, especially the beginning, too. Like, when... Like, I don't know, if you had left out the flying saucer scene in the beginning, and immediately it goes into the helicopter chasing the dog, like it just piques your interest, like,
no,
you know?
Time
like
frame, right, or something?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And, you know, it would have left the audience, like, bewildered, you know, like... What the hell is a helicopter in Antarctica doing chasing a fucking dog, shooting it down, you know?
Yeah, I'm like, that shit escalated quick, though. I thought they were just fucking with it, you know?
I know, yeah. That's what quick. You would have thought, cool. Like, to begin with, yeah. And then, like, you kind of see, like, the next scene where he gets down and he's trying to blow it up. and then he's trying to like shoot it away from the Americans. Man, that just that whole buildup, you know, that whole intro, it really like, I don't know, it really like made a suspenseful like. What the hell am I trying to say?
It moves along. It grabs you the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, you know, it like piques your interest, or like it like gets your curiosity, like your gears working, you know? Like,
yeah.
So
it is really fun watching this with someone that hasn't watched it too. You know what I mean? They're like, why are they doing with the dog? Poor dog. You know what I mean? And they're like, oh, yeah. Shit.
Is that what your old lady was saying?
I didn't watch it with Casey. Casey's seen it before, but I watched it with Bella,
12. Oh, okay.
And she was like, yeah, she's like, poor dog.
I know. I watched it a little bit with Hayden, my 15-year-old. And
how do you like it?
He says he doesn't, like, he isn't scared of it anymore. So it kind of, like, it brought it down for him a little bit.
But was that his first time watching it, or no?
No, he's seen it before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he saw it like a couple years ago, and now like he was rewatching it with me again, and he kind of left in the middle of it because he was all like, oh, "It's not even scary anymore." I'm like, "Okay, like you can leave."
All right, Chris, what else you got?
Didn't you guys think that MacReady's hat looked like a joke?
Oh, that was fucking awesome! I love that hat.
You love that hat?
Yeah,
no.
I have it in my notes, dude. I have it in my notes. It's so fucking awesome.
I read, I guess he hated it, Kurt Russell. He didn't want to fucking wear it. Yeah.
Like, man, for good reason, man. That thing is, like,
it's so ridiculous that it's funny. You know what I mean?
It doesn't do anything either. What is it doing for him, you know?
It kind of reminds me. No, I think you have to wear sunglasses out there because the white just blinds you and everything.
Yeah. No, but I mean, the hat, though, like, it's like he needs warmth. He doesn't need shade. You know what I mean?
It is not cool. No, like
I love that hat.
It's fun to watch him wear it because it's ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess when you put it,
it's like a highway patrolman wearing a hat that he can't get in the car with. You know what I mean? Because it's too big for the door. It's insane.
And the way he folded it up when he was piloting.
Yeah. Oh my god. What all right, so I don't know. I was really impressed with the main dog, the first alien dog.
Yeah.
Man, that dog should have won like best supporting actor.
Yeah.
That it was amazing how well trained it was, and like how you know, how they got every shot done perfectly. Like you know, from it creeping around the corner, from it like sneaking into the room with the guy. I forget who was the first guy. Was it Childs or no, not Childs. Bennings.
I don't think you're supposed to know, like the shadow. Okay.
Yeah, the shadow.
Like, yeah, it could be anybody.
Somebody with hair, right?
Yeah. Yeah, somebody with hair. Yeah. But and even when they lock him up in the dog kennel,
yeah,
it just kind of like sits there, like kind of like
it creeps.
Yeah,
and it can turn into an alien too. It's a good dog.
It was impressive how well trained it was, though.
It was
like when it's just like staring like out the window. Yeah. Like it'll stare out, just stand there and look out the window, like motionless.
Yeah, and then the other dog, like I said, he was like taking the cage down, like piece by piece.
Yeah,
it was.
It was. They were terrified. Those dogs were terrified, getting sprayed and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really impressive.
All right, Chris, what else you got?
Okay, so, you know, speaking of the American base that we were just talking about. Have you guys seen the 2012 version?
The Norwegian base, the prequel? Kind of?
Yeah. I love this movie because of that 2012 version, it really lines up perfectly with the way they filmed all the scenes. You know, it makes you think that they did their homework, you know, that yeah. they took down like every note, like as far as like character building, and they took down like all the, you know, they made sure where every axe was supposed to be, like just tying these two movies together. Like it really like makes you appreciate it like a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, I think there was a pair of people involved in the making of that, like at the top level, and they both loved this movie. Yeah. Only problem is, like, it's a good movie. I own that one, but this movie's still way better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, like, for that sure. One,
well, I don't know. It's not a bad watch, but if you love this movie, you should watch that for sure.
The only thing that kind of that I got to give like a little bit of credit to the prequel is that they actually had a female character in that movie, and in this one, the only female character or female actor was the chess machine,
yeah.
the chess computer, yeah.
I think it was actually. Do you know who it was? Do you know who the voice is?
No, I'm not.
It's John Carpenter's wife.
Really?
I think so.
At the time. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's cool. All
right, what else you got, Chris?
I think they just they used you know how they do those fade out in the movie? You know, they used a lot of white fade out. But they did some dark fade out too, like to transition between scenes. I don't know if you guys noticed it.
Yep.
I didn't really like appreciate it that much. Like it seemed almost like it cheapened it. Like they just didn't know how to transition from one scene to the next, so they just threw that in, you know.
Okay.
I disagree. Because my favorite scene, they were inside and it blacked out to black. Like right after that comedic moment,
but, yeah. Like
maybe if I watched it again, I'd feel it. But
and I didn't feel it this time. Yeah, like I think they just used it a little bit too much. You know, like maybe. I understand using like in certain parts, but it seems like they did it like four or five times. You know, when they could have just used it like once or twice. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember when Dr. Blair was locked in the storage room. Do you guys remember seeing the noose?
Yeah. It's such a good touch, man. It's such a good touch. He's like, I'm all better now. I want to come inside. I'm all better.
Do you think they put that in there with them, or was that already
no
there?
No way. He put that in there with them. He made it. This is so good. He's like eating and stuff while he's talking to him. It's so crazy. You know, it's just crazy. I love that part. I love it.
All right. So, I just want to reiterate, you know, that this movie is not a perfect movie. It's really, you know, it's really memorable for the gore, you know, for the, you know, just the sci-fi, like, you know, aspect of it that it brings to the table. But as far as like the characters go, like I just, I felt like most of them weren't even that memorable, you know, like you can't even like, we had to look up, like there was almost like too many characters. Like we had to look up like all the characters' names and we couldn't even like remember them by name, you know, like it's, I think it could have been better if they had cut down like to at least maybe like 8 characters, but the fact that there's like,
12.
yeah but other than that, it was a really great movie. I just you know, it's kind of those ones that's gonna stand the test of time.
All right, Peter, what you got for your deep dive?
All right, I have a little bit. I honestly, like, honest to God, I did put down that his hat was fucking awesome. That is in my notes. what else do I have? Like Chris was saying, like, I love this movie too. It's an amazing ass movie, but it's not perfect. For me, it's not perfect. Let's see. Let me talk some shit about it first, okay? Let's see. A female could have taken any role in this movie, and it would have been perfectly fine, you know? Like, in all honesty, they could have taken MacReady's role. They could have been the doctor. It could have been the communication guy. You know, it could have been anybody. So to not have a female in the movie, it's like, maybe because it's 1982, I don't know, but that is a little shit talking.
That is like a little bit of like John Carpenter's thing, though. Like, he's
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, like, in like some of his other movies too, like, either like doesn't include like females, or like he like puts them in a bad light, you know?
Yeah, he has like whores. Yeah, I don't know if you guys seen Solemn Precinct 13. He does have a badass female in that. I think. Oh, really? She gets like shot, and she doesn't even wince. Like, she attacks the guy that shoots her, and then, yeah, she's played really cool. I think if a female was in this movie, she just like seduce everyone and eat everybody. No, it doesn't.
Well, just, you know, take this, care over everybody. This movie didn't have any romance in it, and I'm not asking for romance. I just would, maybe you would have, like, because you're hearing names, like Chris was saying, yeah, in this movie, and for me, I'm like, okay, who is that guy? Oh, okay, yeah, it's that guy. You know, just to have a female, then it'd be more character development, you know. But I don't think there should have been a reason why there's no females in this movie, and that's a small thing. It's just, I don't know why there wasn't. Okay, so let me move on. This movie is amazing for the visuals. Like, I'm a 34 year old man, and I'm like I heard myself saying, "What the fuck?" or "Ew, what the fuck is that?" You know, shit like that. And I don't do that in movies, you know, quite often. So
yeah,
it was pretty fucking cool to see shit like that. It's nothing of spectacular, all the gore in it. Let me see, what else do I have? Oh, okay, so one of the main things that I don't like about this movie is that, I'll say it like in the correct way, is what's the guy's name that I like? The cop? Gary? He like shot somebody in the head, right?
Okay.
And then everybody like went to bed. Like, there was no sense of like sanity being lost to the extent of what should have been happening. Like, this guy comes in, their helicopter blows, right? And these guys are not like all military guys. They're not in war. If they were, I could see them reacting to the way they did, you know, but one guy is a doctor, one guy is whatever, one guy's a pilot, you know, they literally shot that guy in the head, and then nobody wants to talk about it, really. You know what I mean, Chris?
Yeah.
To a certain extent. You know what I mean, David, or no? Because
I disagree a little bit.
Like, well, there was a little bit of sanity lost throughout it.
Like, as soon as he does it, he walks out and he's like collecting himself and he's putting his jacket on, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you remember that scene, he walks out and he's just like, fuck. The actual guy that shot him. And then there's a line where he's like, I was wondering when El Capitan was going to get to use his pop gun.
Yeah, pothead. But look, go ahead.
You're not wrong that, like, what's happening is some horrific shit, but, like, what would you want them to do? Walk, run around screaming? Like,
one guy, like, these guys, at least, you know?
No, these guys, well, yeah, that's true, but, like, they, like, and Kurt Russell's like, fuck, this first week of winter. I think that they've done multiple things here. They're attributing it to cabin fever, maybe. You're not wrong, but, like, I think these are competent people too. They try to deal with the situation. Most of them.
Well,
but some of them go crazy. You know what I mean?
I'm saying, like, hey, there's aliens and they exist on this planet now. And here's the proof. And they're like, you know, that's what I'm saying. If I would like to have seen somebody lose their shit, like 100%.
The piehead was like, he's like, it's been happening all the time. They're falling out of the sky like flies. He's like, yeah, he's just smoking. And the other guy's like, I don't believe any of this. They're arguing.
Do you believe this voodoo shit? Do you believe any of this bullshit? Voodoo bullshit? Yeah. That's I don't think their reactions were appropriate to the level of what it should have been. But that's pretty nitpicky, and it is what it is. Okay, so let me see. There's that. What else? Oh, one last thing I'll say is that it would have been cool to actually see the creature, right? Like, in its own original form. But you always see, like, aspects of it changing, or, like, the face was being torn apart, or several limbs. But you never really get to see the creature itself, and maybe it's better this way. But I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm just saying it would be cool to see it. You know?
I mean, you see it in the 2012
movie. I don't remember that part.
When it busts out of the ice.
Yeah. But that's all I have. David, what do you got?
Okay. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. I think it's a really fun ride, like from beginning to end. I'm never bored at any place. Like, it starts off kind of silly, and then it gets serious, and a lot of the serious parts are followed up by like a funny part. You know what I mean? And they put the funny parts in really good times. You know what I mean? So you don't take it too seriously. I think, the way that it takes you to the Sweden base or Norwegian base. The way that they let you unravel everything with them is like brilliant and awesome and fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
First it shows a block of ice, and then it shows you a hole that they got the block of ice out of. One guy's excited because they found this thing that's been there for 100,000 years. You don't know what's up with the dog until you know what's up with the dog. Like, it's like a fun roller coaster ride that never loses your attention.
It felt like at the Mountains of Madness from H.P. Lovecraft, like quite a bit. I got that vibe a lot.
Hell yeah.
Let's see. I think the suspense was just good. I don't know, this is one of my favorite movies of all time, so I can just gush all over it, but I think we'll leave it there. It's just such a fun movie that I love.
Yeah.
All right, do you guys want to play the game?
Sure. Yeah. So if this is your first time listening to this podcast, I apologize, you have nothing better to listen to. But right now, we're going to play the game Guess That Quote. So David has a quote that from a famous movie, should have been in theaters, hopefully a blockbuster movie that we know. And he's going to say a quote, and then we have to guess what it is, and he's going to give us a little bit of time to ponder it over. So whenever you're ready, David.
So I think Chris might get this one. I'm not sure if you will, okay? All right.
Hey, I think I'm the best of anybody.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought I'm pretty good. But I might be totally wrong on this, okay? All right, here it goes. Who gives a shit what you believe? In 30 seconds, you'll be dead, and I'll blow this place up and be home in time for cornflakes.
Fuck, that sounds...
It does say where it's from real quick. Let's let the listeners try to guess where it came from. Do you know what it is, Chris?
Can you say it again?
Here you go. Who gives a shit what you believe? In 30 seconds, you'll be dead, and I'll blow this place up and be home in time for cornflakes.
Do you know where it's from? I'm so bad at this game.
That sounds so familiar. Fuck.
All right. So you guys want to throw out a guess at all? I'll be home in time for cornflakes. It's so stupid.
I'm going to say Commando.
Almost, man. You're on the right, track. Fuck. Throw it out, Peter.
No, I'm trying to think. Holy shit. It's not Eraser?
It's Total Recall. It's the bad guy at the end. Like,
God damn it.
Type that in, it'll pull it up. It's so fucking... just the I'll be home in time for cornflakes is such a stupid thing. All right, guys. Who wants to start it off? I'll go last. End it on a good note.
Okay. I'll go first, Chris.
Yeah.
I had to give this movie an 8. It was a really good movie. Obviously, you know, it's an iconic movie. John Carpenter is a legend. He just did so much right with this movie, you know. It's a shame that, like, so many of his other movies, like, didn't, you know, quite reach the par level of this one. But, you know, I thought the gore was, like, just perfect, you know, for this movie. It was over the top. You know, it's kind of like Quentin Tarantino. You know, you go in expecting, like, a bloodbath, you know. But, yeah, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. I wish I could give it a higher score, but, you know, going back and watching this movie for to watch it critically, there was a few mistakes. Like, you know, it had, like, a lot of jump scares, which I absolutely hate in horror movies. So I had to knock it down, like, a couple notches. You know, there was, like, even though the practical effects were, like, stellar, there was still, like, some scenes, you know, obviously, where it kind of, like, fell to the wayside a little bit. But, and, you know, an 8's a pretty damn good score for me. So, like, I'll definitely rewatch this movie, you know, and try to, like, convince other people to, you know, to recommend it to others.
All right, Peter.
All right, so for me, what's up?
Go ahead.
For me, I give this movie a 9. It's to say, like, the gore. You know, it's probably one of the best movies I've ever seen the gore done. You know, it's amazing to see it, and there's no CGI, so it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. But
I think studios need to go back to this because it's real. It's real objects, you know, compared to CGI. It's almost, it's a, like David said, it's a fun ride, but at the same time, it's almost how a lot of people would react in that situation as well. You know, I love the fucking testing the blood. You know, that's like a practical, stupid thing that some guys would do. You know, it's a great movie. It's not perfect. But it's fucking awesome. This movie is fucking awesome. And it moves quickly, too, so you're entertained the whole time as well.
Do you feel like it still, like, has, like, a terrifying, like, factor to it, like, when you watch it?
No, but I don't know a lot of movies that I can be terrified for.
Yeah.
You know, like, for you, Chris, you saw it when you were 10, you know, so... Maybe I gotta say, you know, my rating could change tomorrow, you know, but watching it and how I feel about it right now, I gotta give it a 9 because I'm impressed. I'm just really impressed with it.
Yeah.
I wasn't scared. Scared. I was impressed. I was really impressed.
Okay.
All right. No surprise. I'm gonna give this a 10. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Yeah, it's a fun ride. I don't think I'm really scared of any parts. There are some creepy parts, like when it turns into a dog and right before they set on fire, like it shows the eye that you didn't see and stuff like that. The settings, awesome. The like Blair on the computer is really funny and awesome. I like when McCready is frozen, you know what I mean? When he jumps back in the building, he's like icicles all over his face. it's such a perfect blend of like action, suspense, horror, and humor. It's just such a fun movie to watch.
So did we ruin it for you? Did we ruin it?
No, you guys don't ever ruin anything for me. I do have, like, there was a time where I had screensavers of this on my phone, you know what I mean? It's older than we are. I do love this movie. It's just such a fun movie. I think it's John Carpenter's best movie. And I don't think I'm alone in that opinion. I think it influenced a lot of people and everything like that. But that's what we have for this movie. It's Halloween. So happy Halloween, guys. I hope everyone stays safe. You guys have anything before we sign off?
Nope. Yeah, I guess this concludes our month-long event of horror movies, huh?
That's right. All right, guys. So hopefully we'll see you next week. Come back, see what our next movie review is. This is the Three Amigos signing off. I'm David.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Peter. Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.